Mr. Norrie?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi. Pleasure. My name is John Hinkle. I'm been a high school teacher out in San Diego for about 15 years, and besides myself, a lot of my kids enjoy your show as well.
Oh, you got it as part of the curriculum, huh?
Well, yeah, we've actually started up a cryptozoology club on campus with another biology teacher. But what I called about was because every Halloween day at our school, at least in my class, we spend time talking about real-life scary stories, and some of them are supernatural, and some of them we talk about the difference between urban legends and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I usually put up 13 stories on the board, ones that have really happened to me or close friends of mine. We talk about what's the difference between a faux, and we try and keep them as authentic as possible. And one of the stories that they consistently ask for every year is a story that a really good friend of mine told me about 3 years ago called Glenn, who's also trying to become a tenured biology teacher at the moment. One of the most strange, scary stories just draws the hair up on the back of my neck ever since I heard it about 3 years ago. And I was wondering if your listeners, if I've heard about the shadow people before, and I was wondering if this sounds like shadow people.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. Back in about the mid-70s, young boy named Glenn, he had a brother. They lived in Olympia, Washington, and he said he woke up one night during a rainstorm, electric storm, looked over to the side bed in the captain's bed that his little brother Kevin used to sleep in, noticed he wasn't there. He walks down to the stairwell. He noticed his brother standing in the middle of the room in this lightning storm, calls his name, doesn't respond, goes down to him, and at the next lightning strike, his brother says, "You know what, there's someone in the front yard." And he goes, "What are you talking about? There's someone in the front yard." And the next time a lightning struck, come down, he saw it too, out by the swing set, there was a black figure standing out in the front yard. It looked like it was probably facing the house.
Ooh, just staring?
Well, it had no features. That was the thing. It looked like a black silhouette, perfectly devoid of any features. Stood about 6 feet tall, and he goes up to the window himself, which is between the television and the curtains, and it's like a bay window, and he goes up to this window, and he doesn't see anything until the next lightning strike. Also, he notices he doesn't see anything at all, and he looks up, and this thing is practically nose to nose with him in the window. He turns around. His brother's already gone. He runs up the stairs, almost knocks the TV over, calls his parents out, and, you know, they think he's just making stuff up, watching too many late-night movies, and nothing happens for about 2 weeks or so, and he asks his brother to confirm what had happened to them both, and he denies having seen anything at all. He was about four, and Glenn was about probably seven at this time. And about a month later, he begins to hear whispering, like a dialogue out in the hallway, and he starts to think, well, maybe his parents are having a late-night discussion or something. He gets off the bed, and the minute he gets off the bed, the whispering stops. He goes into the hallway, and all of a sudden he hears just a sinister, diabolical, "Get back into bed, get back into bed."
Oh.
He runs back into bed, jumps, hardly touches the ground, you know, shuts the door, pulls the covers over his head, and the voice, one of the voices exactly says, that's right, get back in the bed. And he says, he starts hearing this for the period of, like, it'll happen, like, sporadically, like 7 days later, a month later, and now and then it was the same thing. He'd hear the whispering and the murmurs, he'd get out of bed, and that the voices would stop, and the same thing, the diabolical, get back in bed. And he said he noticed that after that first night in the living room, his brother had stopped facing him in the captain's bed, and now and then he would actually wake up, and to his, you know, horror, you know, his 7-year-old boy, to his horror, he'd wake up and one of these things would be standing there in the room looking at him, what he thought was looking at him. They didn't have any eyes or anything. It was just a perfect, like, acrylic-like body that was just pure black. And the strange thing is the voices never accompanied the actual figures when they were present. They never touched him, but he said this went on for the period of about 4 years in his life, and it was just, it's the point where his parents stopped believing him, and they didn't know what to do with the kid, and it was before they actually had, you know, had kids see child psychologists and whatnot.
Sure.
But he eventually got to the point where he'd watch TV up at night, because it seemed like whenever he had the TV on, the apparition wouldn't come back, and he wouldn't hear the voices, and so even though it was further away from his bedroom parents, he'd watch the TV, and his parents just kind of let him alone, because whatever it took to calm him down, it got to be so bad. And one of the strangest things is this was in the late 70s, and he said this is where the story concludes for him. He said by this time he was about 11, and he'd given to watching TV. And, you know, in the old days before they had cable, he only had three or four
channels.
Yeah,
your TV, your local station, sure.
Yeah, and at the night after one channel goes out at 11, you get the bars up on the TV, and there was nothing else. They said one night he was getting kind of desperate. It was about 12 o'clock, and he'd gone through all the channels. There was nothing but bars and the color codes, and he... he's getting kind of nervous, and he said he came onto the old PTL channel. I don't know if you remember that was Tammy Faye and
Baker. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He wasn't religious, neither were his parents or whatnot, but they started talking about, you know, if you're dealing with alcoholism, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with demonic worship or whatever, we want you to come up right now and touch the television. And I got to tell you, the whole time Glenn is telling me this story, he's a grown man. He began to break down and almost cry, and that's how I knew it was so authentic, because I'd never seen anyone so physically moved by the kind of horror he went through as a kid, having seen these things and hearing these things. And he said at that moment, even though he didn't have religion at all in his life, and he said he believed like the Bakers, he needed to touch that television. Said he got up, started to move towards the television, and almost instantly from behind the curtain, this thing appeared back from the window it originated and came towards the television. Here's an 11-year-old kid deciding, is he going to walk forward and touch that television, or is he going to like run up? And he just eventually grabbed the television, ran towards the thing, and started screaming. He repeated whatever the prayer was that the Bakers were having him say. His parents eventually woke up and came down and said, what's going on this time? And he goes, it's there, Mom, it's there. Look at the curtain, look at the curtain. And they came down, you know, Mom came down first, down the stairs, and Dad after. And he goes, look at that, it's there. And they both came, what are you talking about, Glenn? What are you talking about? They came up to him, and all of a sudden, the part that just, this is what raises the hackles on the back of my neck. His mother goes, honey, what is that? And he said, for the first time ever, usually when his parents came or the lights came on, the thing completely retreated. So this time it left out like a shoulder and an arm behind the curtain, and his mom actually saw it. And that was like the point of when finally someone believed him. That was kind of like the release for him.
Oh,
never,
my God.
Never saw it again, never appeared again, but still just a really concrete, horrific memory in the life of someone.
That is scary. Here's the other thing, though. What if there was someone living in the attic and they didn't know it?
Well, that was the thing. It got so close to him on occasion. He said it did not look human. It had human shape, but it didn't have human features. It didn't wear human clothes. It didn't have an eye socket or nails. He said it was just a perfectly black, like, figure, devoid of anything.
What's so weird is it would hide and not disappear.
Yeah, sometimes he'd wake up and he'd just be standing there menacingly, never touched him, but just a diabolical, ominous force in this poor little kid's life.
And how is he now? You know, you were telling me he's somewhat broke down again as an adult, but is he okay?
Well, I told him about your story. I said, you know what, there's these things called shadow people on Coast to Coast Night, and I got on your website and I've seen some of the pictures, and
sure.
And I appreciate some of them were debunked, and they said, well, this is a picture of someone moving in the room. I had him get on it, and he was really interested. He'd be telling the story himself, except he's not tenured yet. And that's the last thing someone wants is a supposed crazy teacher in
yeah,
the classroom.
A teacher who sees shadow people,
yeah, but
right?
But from what you've heard, does that sound like shadow people? Or
it sure does. No, that sounds like shadow people to me with a different emphasis, a special twist. I mean, this is very demonic. And, you know, some people see shadow people with hats. I saw one in this cave studio I'm in St. Louis several weeks ago, going right across from me. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And they're out there. I just don't know where they are. I think they're dimensional.
Hmm.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Love your show. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the story.